for one nation. Jews aim and slain anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
Joel Embiid, a human I would lean towards saying I like. If you asked me before this series, I would have said I definitely liked. Apparently has some sort of death wish.
Oh boy.
He tried the two guys like in the league that you just don't try in like a 15-minute spin.
Nader and Larkin.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cheap shot on Larkin. It knocked him out of the game. You hate to see that. Yeah, you just want to see some good clean ball with the boys out there. But yeah, the Egyptian terror, Abdel Nader was giving him some darts of stares from the bench.
I'd hate to be on the other end, any end of anything from Abdel Nader.
But no, he tried to take the ball from Terry, which during the regular season, no one like really cares. They just like hand the ball to the other team. They're like, yeah, whatever, dude. In the playoffs, you try to take the ball from your opponent. Like I've seen wars start over less.
Yeah, and I feel like it's always justified.
For the people who are like pissed off.
No, I mean, like, if somebody tries to take it and you don't give it up, like, I don't think it should be a double tech on you. Like, I don't think you should get penalized.
Well, usually there's, like, a lot of stuff that happens after the fact. And if you're trying to... Yeah, definitely. A skirmish, to say the least. Mm. But if you do that, they don't give it up. And then it gets to the point where it's pushing and shoving. Like, I can get why it's a double tech, unless, like, one guy just, like, clearly cocks his fist and just, like, knocks the other dude down. Then a double tech would feel incorrect.
Yeah, single tech, for sure.
At the minimum. But we talk about it a lot, Russell Westbrook trying to push Nene and Russ moving backwards.
Correct.
Not exactly what happened here. Terry pushed Embiid, and Embiid took like a step back, not like two or anything, but he moved backwards. And Ben Simmons ran as fast as he has in this entire series to pick Terry up and get him out of there. I've never seen someone so scared for their own teammate's life.
Maybe he just knew. Maybe Simmons.
Maybe of course
Simmons
he knew.
Really is about that life. But I'm saying, like, maybe Simmons is like, oh, no. No, I know I'm crazy, and I wouldn't mess with that guy, so I.
Oh, you're saying Terry shouldn't have done that?
No, I'm saying I think he did what he should have did, what anybody would have did. But I'm saying I think Simmons realized, like, oh, yeah, Embiid doesn't want that. Like, I'm from Australia. Okay. I've looked a kangaroo in the eyes. I know crazy.
Yeah, when, like, a 6'1 point guard and, like, a 7'3, like, behemoth who's claimed to kill lions as a child are going at it, and everyone's like, dude, that guy's from Youngstown. I think we should try and stop him before this escalates quickly. I think that speaks volumes.
I don't disagree. Wish the Sixers still had Elton Brand on the bench for a little added muscle.
They needed it, because then Embiid, I don't know, he fouled Mook. They didn't call it, which we'll get to that. But he acted like he blocked a shot, and so he was chirping him like the whole way down the court and then the whole way back. The timeout gets called. Mook throws up the 3-0, which very well could have just been affiliated talk. Mikhail's like, yep, it's a 3-0 series lead. I was like, I think he's just like signaling a bunch of Pyrus to come down to Wells Fargo right now.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah, a little double entendre.
Don't even ask him how.
And Markieff was in the crowd. I think this is the first game I've seen him at. We've been at the last two, so I don't know if he was at those. They didn't show him on the Jumbotron either.
He may have warrants. He probably asked not to be shown.
It's true, but he was. Although this must have been the first time, because TNT kept showing him. And if he was there like all three games prior, I don't know if they would have kept, like, they would have shown him, but not to the extent they showed him today.
Right. Like, I don't know.
He must have.
Like, they switched him out or something. That's, they showed him a little too much.
But Yeah, Embiid was saying, I'm in your head, and a very unbothered Marcus Morris just kept throwing up a 3-0, which is now a 3-1. Congrats to the historic favorite Philadelphia 76ers for not getting swept. It's a big accomplishment. A lot of people are saying that it's actually bad that they're down 3-1. I disagree wholeheartedly, Withers.
I'm listening.
It was a big accomplishment. You know, it's a young team. It's good to get a win on the old home court in the second round. You know, it's something you got to tip your cap to.
Scared a little bit yet?
No.
2%?
No. If they like if they come out in game five and beat us by like 20, then I'd be like, oh, well, that's not great.
Mean business, but oh no.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, well, this is bad, not good, but. No, I mean, we have to win one out of the next three games, two of which are at home.
Like bad attitude, man. You got to win one out of the next one games. That's what I say.
Yeah, well, I think your prediction is going to hold true. Sixers losing five. You were right on the number with that one, Withers.
I usually am. I usually am ahead of the curve.
No, I mean, the part of the reason I'm not that worried, the Sixers really should have won that game by more points. Like, they were begging the Celtics to get back into that one in the fourth quarter, and we just – either we'd turn it over or we'd just, like, completely miss a wide-open shot. So, like, I left this game feeling like, well, we really should have won that one. Even though we played just so shittily, we had so many chances to come back late in that game that it was borderline inexcusable that we left there with a loss. Then again, the best player on the court – played for Philadelphia tonight, TJ McConnell, best point guard probably in the series at this point.
That's why I'm asking, are you scared, us. Man? Like, what if Brett Brown was just, he's like, this isn't even our final form.
They stumbled ass backwards into something, much like the Bucks did with Thon Maker.
Yeah, this is, has Markel Fultz been Wally Pipped? Wow. Before he even had, after he even had the job?
I was going to say, Wally Pipped at least played.
Damn. Wally McConnell.
But yeah, McConnell was very good, and the second they took him out in the fourth quarter, put Simmons back in. Celtics went on like a little run there, and it was like, well, Ben Simmons is like really bad, is what I've come to find out. At least in this series, he's been just dreadful.
This was like clearly his best statistical game, and even then it doesn't, I don't know, the numbers feel bigger than his like he had 19 points, 13 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, which, you know, sounds like a really good game, but I don't know, I didn't feel like he had a whole lot of impact to me.
To be fair, he had 14 points, and then at the end of the game, for some reason, the Celtics just kept fouling him, like hoping he was just going to miss free throws and we would hit threes, which is a wild strategy considering we weren't hitting threes all game, so I don't know why we were going to start the last like 50 seconds.
Hey, zag when they also zag. Stevens, so he, known strategy.
He went 5 for 6 down the stretch to get him that 19. But this is there was one play in particular which sums up just how bad Ben Simmons has been. He threw a lob to Embiid that was very clearly offensive goaltending, but the refs never even thought to call offensive goaltending because they were like, that shot was from 3 feet away. Simmons would never have attempted that. It couldn't have gone near the hoop.
Yeah, like if his toe was on the line, I would have given it to him, but we'll play on.
Yeah, it's like that. The ball was literally halfway down the rim before Embiid even touched it, and they were like, no, that's clean.
So. Easiest two he'll ever get.
But a lot of Celtics fans were bitching and moaning about the refs. 4 Celtics players at the very start of the third quarter had 4 fouls.
I did see that.
But I would have told you that before the game because Embiid threw such a little hissy fit after game 3. Anytime any star, superstar player openly complains about the refs, yeah, they get like a $5,000 fine. And then the refs call things in their favor. I don't know why people don't do it after every game, no matter how good or bad the refs were. Like, you are going to get calls in your favor the next game. Like, well,
that's Brett Brown's job.
Right.
I'll give Phil Jackson his credit. He would do exactly that, and I feel like it would work every single time. Yeah, that's Brett Brown's job.
Yeah, but I don't like Phil Jackson had the clout. Brett Brown doesn't have that clout. Like, it had to come from Embiid.
It's got to start somewhere, though.
Yeah,
till he had it.
True. So yeah, it really didn't bother me. It was like the second quarter was borderline unwatchable just because the stoppage of play was every trip down the court. And it's like that make like it's just tough to like, it's not fun basketball to watch. I'm not even saying that as a Celtics fan. Like, it's when it's that blatant, it's just like, all right, guys, we get it. Like, just figure it out late, like in the third and fourth. Like, don't fuck up the first half.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was, any side was getting screwed. I didn't feel like it was definitely a lot of shots. I'm looking, each side shot 26 free throws, and it was 20 fouls to 23. I know that doesn't tell like the whole story, but I never got the, I didn't feel like, oh man, they clearly want this thing to go five.
No, I mean, going, that would prove nothing. It would just be a waste of time. But it was more like offensive fouls that the first three games in this series was just both sides fighting for position. Like, those all of a sudden were getting called. They flew in Scott Foster for the game, which is never a good sign.
Oh, yeah. He's just on 5, 6, and 7.
Right. He was there with Tony Brothers, and it was just like, oh, all right. But again, the Celtics, the Sixers won that game. You can't take anything away from them from that. They realized, like, oh, we are the bigger team, which took four games. And they just hammered us down low, and TJ McConnell actually ran an offense. It's crazy what happens when your point guard can actually shoot.
That's wild. This is honestly the game that I thought would happen in game three. Like to the right. T. Like, the Celtics went, I won't say cold, like, I shot below average, but just it went going like ice cold, but like got out rebounded. I think turned it over more. Like, this is, which I finished with 90 points, 92 points. This is the game that I thought was like, okay, we just didn't have it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was 47-42 at halftime, something like that. We had 13 turnovers through three quarters. Like, that kind of shit was, like, on the road, you can't do that.
Right.
At home, you can't do that. Like, it's just not a good way to win basketball. Well, I don't
know. If Philly was going to play the way they had been,
Right, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they were like, we could probably beat him with a B-minus game. It was a good bet on their behalf. It didn't work, but it was a good bet.
What do you think of the Sixers not shooting confetti after this win?
I think it was a wild move. Maybe the confetti was just for us. Maybe it wasn't for the game at all.
Someone tweeted me. They said, no, confetti's only for tie games, you see.
Okay. I didn't know the rules.
You win handedly, no confetti. You tie, big time confetti.
Oh boy, yeah. If that thing went to double overtime, we'd still be swimming out of the Wells Fargo thing.
I mean, we can't even talk about it now. If we had recorded earlier in the day, we are obviously, as you can hear, recording after game four. I obviously woke up with sweep on the mind. Not something I anticipated before the series, as I picked the Celtics in seven.
Same.
Once you're up 3-0, you know, the thought of a sweep creeps into your mind, as it's one to do. But
the juice quote,
right?
That, like, once you get up, I was like, okay, they might, like, it'd be interesting if they go for the sweep. I wouldn't fault them if they don't. But then he said that, and I was like, oh, okay, like they want to handle their business.
And I think Juice got three fouls with like a bunch of time left in the second quarter.
Yeah, wasn't great. Wow, Juice does play with his food.
And Brad Stevens got a tech today, which he must have went up to the, because he wasn't like being demonstrative or like yelling. He literally, I think, just walked up to the ref and said, "Give me a tech."
I'll take one of those.
Yeah, because it was right after Juice got his, which I don't even know what Juice did. Like, he just walked back to the bench and stood in the corner. Like, he must have said something. Like, the refs must have thought he was talking down to them. He used some four-syllable words. They didn't like that.
Something unprintable.
And 5 seconds later, Brett, that was kind of when it was over. That pushed it to 10 or 11. Like, Philly got 4 points on that one possession. And that was, the Celtics really were out of it by then. And that was the game. Philly, Saric played much it's better than he had in any of the other three games.
Yeah, I feel like he's, I don't know, I was going to say they're most consistent, I guess, Embiid, but I feel like he's played, like I'm looking, he had a 12-7-4, 14-9-3, 11-5-3, 25-8-4. Like Simmons scored 1 point, Covington had a 1 point game. I think Redick scored like 6 or 7 tonight. Embiid has been consistent. I'll give him that. So, but one of those two, and tonight, yes, Sarek looked great.
You know what I'll say about Redick? When he, well, everyone knows that. There's no need to say it again.
Sure.
But I haven't seen someone miss so many wide open that like attempt like what should be backbreaking threes in one series. He, every time he's had one of those, he just misses. It's wild.
All right, he's a big time coffin nailer. Attempter. Attempter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I'm so terrified every time he has him because he seems to be wide open at least 6 times a game and he just misses. It's a wild scene.
Oh, yeah. And it's like every time he misses, like, damn, the next one's cash.
Right. Wasn't yeah, cash. That also, too. What did Bellinelli finish with? Because I feel like he played decent tonight.
Bellinelli finished with, no, he had 9 points, but on 2 of 10 shooting.
Yeah, just hounding us from the field.
Yeah, cute. got to the line 4 times, rebound, assist, and a steal, -3.
Yeah, killed us.
Not great.
But it must just be those 2 free throws, those texts just burned my head. I feel like he played better than that.
Covington had another stinker. Like, they came off the bench. That didn't give him any kind of spark.
No, but he did have one particularly huge assist to, like, a cutting Ilyasova where Mook didn't even assume the ball was going to be coming anywhere near him because he was like, ah, it's Ilyasova cutting across the lane. Covington has the ball. He's not going to pass it. Oh, he passed it. Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you'll roll those dice.
Yeah, it's been working for us most of the series. Baines was hoisting threes with no regard for human life. I think I saw he's 8 for, like, 26 in the playoffs from 3, which maybe a couple too many threes.
I was going to say maybe not enough.
The only one way to find out, game 5.
He just comes out and just fires from the jump.
Probably. I think this is the first night we won the opening tip. Two, so 3-0 when we lose it, 1-0 and 1 when we win it. Probably should just not even jump game 5.
Yeah, I wouldn't. For what?
Yeah, I mean the numbers back it up.
I feel like Embiid is probably still like on the court, like with an oxygen tank.
I said it in the first quarter. He did something. I think he blocked like another shot after the whistle. Like, whoa, like not like a real shot. Like the whistle happens, guy takes a trip. Like the old Kevin Garnett, like the shot doesn't count. Let me make sure he doesn't see it go in.
Mm.
And I was like, this guy Embiid loves wasting his energy on things that don't actually affect the game. Maybe he should try and conserve some of that one time. Maybe he'll be useful in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's like his conditioning is a real issue.
Correct.
It's not great.
And yet he still just jumps. Like even, but what kills me is like he's sucking wind late in the fourth quarter, but then as soon as there's a timeout, he's like jumping, putting his feet on the top of the backboard.
Well, yeah, he's standing on the scorer's table, hyping up the crowd. He's doing the shoot dance in the huddle, and then the gameplay starts, and he's like crawling back.
Yeah, he's like, wow, I can't believe it.
Well, it's like the thing is, he's like he hasn't played as many playoff games as them. He's only played, what, 6, or I guess tonight was 7? And I look, he's only playing 34 minutes per, so it's not even like he's playing big minutes. Like, the game 2 that we were at, and we saw him that gas, he played 37 minutes. He was coming off 2 days rest. What's going, something's got to shake.
Yeah, and there's not, like, a big turnaround between now and the next game either, so it's not like he's going to get any rest. Like, anytime soon, like, this is just what it's going to be.
Yeah, what is so game 5 is Wednesday, I'm guessing?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, that was one of the reasons that I was banking on Embiid having a big series. I was like, this rest will do him some good. Hasn't done him some good. Imagine me picking Philly in anything ever again after this series. Holy smokes.
Good. What What chance do you give them to be the first team in NBA history to come back from 03?
I'll say 10.
10?
10%.
Jesus Christ, that's incredibly high.
Would you say none?
I would say like 0.1.
The reason if they like really are just going to figure out that TJ McConnell is their best player, you guys might be cooked. You guys going to out-scrap that? No,
we don't have
I'll answer for you.
We don't have any short whites. It's true.
That, and I just keep thinking Covington is just not going to keep shooting this horse. Like, I know his play is like slipped a bit, but I don't know. He's just been like a non, like he's not even shooting as much. So it's like, he's not taking them. He's not making them. He's not been himself on defense. I don't think Simmons hasn't been himself on defense. I think that's hurting him. He looked better tonight, but.
Did he?
I feel like he did. What did it say? Terry finished with 11 on 4 of 11 shooting, which is, I feel like, easily the worst shooting game he's had this series. I feel like it was hard for him to get to the lane, yeah. And then he was just blowing past him. And when when Rozier's getting passing that easily, what can anybody else do? Like, it's breaking you down. So yeah,
I don't remember seeing Simmons on Terry though.
I saw him some, was a game.
No, he has been on him this series. I just mean today.
Who was on him today?
I don't know. I just remember Simmons attempting to guard Tatum and it not going very well.
Yeah, Tatum was. Did he get his 20?
He sure did.
Of course he did. You think he knew he needed to? How many points he needed to get that?
He definitely did, because I think he got it on. Well, how many did he finish with? Do you have in front of you?
20 exactly.
Yeah, he had a 3 with like 30 seconds left, so you better believe he did.
That's my whispered in his ear. I don't hate it. I know I seen something earlier. I don't know if it was cross or just fast break, and it seemed like he was, looking to try. Like, there's no reason. Terry's good, but Simmons is a really good defender, like with that kind of physical advantage on him. He shouldn't have been. No one should be getting past him that easily, I'll say.
I would agree, unless you're Jason Tatum, at which point it was pretty easy.
And I say, yeah, others disagree.
But, yeah, I would give him 0.1%. You never want to say it can't happen, but again, Boston has to win one of two games at home. I think they can do that. I think where Boston messed up, they let Philly get up double digits too late in the game. They let Philly get up double digits in the first half. That's a game we win 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah. But the thing is,
but we didn't.
Philly wasn't that hot either. Like, Philly didn't shoot well at all.
Right.
Like, Philly shot 40% from the field, 27% from three. So if they, I don't know. Yeah, like if you think Redick bounces back and Covington does anything, maybe they get a hot start going in game five. They're gonna have to.
Is Simmons gonna drop 19 again though?
He's gonna have to.
Right, that's where it's like, yeah, one of those other guys can have a bounce back game, but if Simmons stinks again, it doesn't matter.
We'll get, like, he had 19 on 15 shots. You live with that. Embiid had 15 on 15 shots. You live with that. Sark led them in shots, and like, while he had a great game, I feel like you live with that too.
Yeah, I think we shot just under 40% from the field, like on all attempts.
Let's see, y'all shot 41. Yeah, y'all shot 41 to their 40, and y'all shot 34 to their 27.
Yeah, I mean, not great.
Yeah, and y'all got this line of same exact times and lost by double digits. Good grief.
Do you have, how many shots did they take, though?
Total shots, they took 94. Y'all took 75.
Yeah, there it is. I think they crushed us on the offensive glass.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, 16-6.
Yeah.
And I feel like from game 1, 2, and 3, like the pace got slower and slower, which I thought benefited Boston. And this time, like they put, well, I guess they didn't really put, they just kept getting second chances, which either way.
I think Well, I think they had more. They put up a graphic on TNT in the fourth. I think they beat us both in the paint and in fast breaks because we kept turning the fucking ball over.
Yeah. Not great. So you
think Horford only had like? I'd prefer them to, definitely. The further it goes, the more I'm just going to be aggravated. LeBron's about to close out Toronto now. Like, I don't need him getting extra rest.
Boy, is he.
That's what I mean. Like, so, yeah, I'd prefer to just close it out tomorrow and send Philly on their way. I feel like there's going to be a fight game five.
It should be. If you're Philly, you have to. You should fight every game that you have left.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a terrible strategy. Hopefully it involves Embiid. And hopefully both players get ejected. I would, like, from whoever the Celtics fights. And so that's where Mook Morris needs to step in. Just, like, punch him in the face. Make sure he starts it, but you punch him in the face. And then both guys get ejected.
I don't know. Morris, that feels like a big get for y'all. Y'all ain't got nobody, like, lower down than that? Shane Larkin can't do it with, sure, like, his good arm?
We got Shane Larkin, he just uses his, like, 42-inch vert to jump up and punch him in the face.
He just stands on Juice's shoulders.
Yeah, no, I mean, you wouldn't trade Mook for Embiid, like, both of them just having a lead?
Oh, no, for sure, but I'm saying I'd rather trade someone else for Embiid.
Well, yeah, I mean, ideally,
like Greg
Monroe.
I'd rather trade Greg Monroe for Embiid.
Greg Monroe would miss his punch, and it would just be upsetting.
It'd spend him anyway. Like, that was terrible. Take a hike, Monroe.
Yeah, you'd only get one game if you're connected. We're giving you five for embarrassing yourself.
They give Embiid Monroe's game shit.
Yeah, I think Horford only had, like, 10-10, maybe 12-10, like, not, you were saying it earlier in the series, like, can he sustain, like, 20 a night, and with how many, like, how much he has to defend? No, he cannot.
This is, again, exactly what I expected for game three, so if it happened to game five, I think you guys are in decent shape.
I don't know. I would just like for it to be over so we can shift our focus forward. Because the only thing funnier than a sweep would be a team coming back from 0-3. As someone who's been on the four side of that before in a different sport, it's very funny. So I would prefer for that to not happen.
So yeah, especially in this particular series between these particular teams.
Correct. But, yeah, LeBron's going to be waiting at home for whichever of these teams decides they'd like to win.
Does Toronto just, like, blow it up? Do they run? Like, what do they do? They had a good season. They just played LeBron again.
I mean, I don't. I really don't know what Toronto does. I feel like they did, like, everything they could this last year. I mean, they keep drafting well. They keep their guys together. They seem to have a good coach. They seem to like playing together. And, yeah, they're about to get swept by LeBron. Like, it's getting easier for LeBron the worse LeBron's teams get.
Yeah, and the better the Raptors get, I think it's going to end up being on Dwayne Casey. Like, it's not his fault, per se. I don't think he's adjusted well in this series, but with the way Lowry's played really well, I'll give him that.
He has. I'll give him credit. DeRozan was just stapled to the bench in crunch time game three. Like, maybe that's what they trade DeRozan.
That's awesome. I think they won like 59 game. I think I would probably try the coach, and it really sucks for Dwayne Casey, but that's just the break sometimes. Like, sometimes you win coach of the year and still get fired. But before breaking up, because I'm looking at their salary cap now, it's really not horrible. They're going to be like way over the cap next year, but they were over it this year. So I don't, if they're just fine to keep spending, then yeah, I would keep trying to win 60 games and hope LeBron leaves.
Yeah, but LeBron leaves, then Kyrie and Hayward come back, and also Embiid and Simmons get a year older, and, like, Fultz comes back. So, like,
I mean, even then, you just want to be in that. Like, I'm not saying, like, LeBron leaves, they're automatically just going to go to the finals, but even then, you're still going to be in that top three. Like, you don't have to shake up your team at all, and you can still be in that top three. And, like, and your biggest competition left, if, especially if he leaves the conference.
Yeah, I mean, I very much understand what you're saying, and it's all logically sound. This all just feels very, like, Clippers-y.
Oh, for sure. It 100% is. The thing, I mean, they got to the conference finals, but it didn't matter, ultimately.
No. Well, when?
They got, what was it, 2 years? The year they went to six, that was the conference finals.
You talking about the Clippers?
No, Raptors.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a real shitty spot. I do feel like they hit on OG, which him a year from now where he actually gets to just like practice and isn't just rehabbing from like a major knee injury. Like, he could take a really big step that people are already impressed with him right now, but that's him as a rookie coming off of an injury, you know what I mean? Like, him second year, full year in the system, and a full regular off season with no rehab that needs to be done. Like, maybe he's just, maybe they don't really have to do anything. Maybe he's just the piece that slides right in.
I mean, I think multiple young guys, like Poitel's taking steps forward, DeLon Wright is taking steps forward, Siakam. Like, if you just figure all those guys keep progressing, that's why I'm like, I don't really think they should blow it up. Like, I don't really think I would. I mean, of course, I would probably get off balancing units if I could. I think, or Ibaka. Yikes. That Norm Powell also doesn't look great now, especially since OG was, like, better immediately.
Immediately, I mean, yeah, immediately.
Like,
I
as would, soon as it was like, he fell here? Damn, I wish we signed that later.
Norm Powell went from untradeable to
unplayable.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, like, they've got Lowry for two, after this year, Lowry for two more, Ibaka for two more, Valanciunas for one and an option, DeRozan for three more. So they're really, if they want to get under the luxury cap, they would have to make a couple moves. But with the number of young guys they have, I'd actually want to run it back. It sounds crazy, but 59 wins and you have reason to think you're going to have, like, legitimate growth, like, because you're young players. I might, maybe I'm the coach, though. Can you hear me? Yo.
You broke up for all of that.
Awesome.
I don't know if it broke up on your end, though, because it's that's the one that's recording. So I don't know if it matters.
It wasn't important.
I'll just agree entirely with what you said.
I agree. Yeah, we need to eliminate the whites from America. I'm glad we...
You going to find me disagreeing with that? I don't think so.
I'm glad we come to agreement. No, just saying, I said, I think, like, for the first time, I think they have a reason to believe they have growth, like, internal growth coming. Like, this year, they didn't expect those young guys. I don't think they expect them to take that kind of leap. This year, if they don't take another leap, I think you'd be surprised. So, outside of maybe Casey, he might just be asked out.
Yeah, it might just be, like, a shitty situation where everyone always wants to compare Mark Jackson. Like, just because, like, a team takes a step after they fire their coach, like, it's not always the same.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe, like, he's been there for a while. Maybe it's like, this is as far as I can take you. It might be best for them both, like, to just have a new situation.
Whereas Mark Jackson was, like, actively holding them back.
Yeah, Mark was trying to fight players and sick players against each other, and I don't think Dwayne Casey's doing any of that.
No. I mean, that would be pretty funny. Like all that DeMar DeRozan depression stuff that came out was because Dwayne Casey was just pointing and laughing at him every time he got out of the shower or something.
He told CJ Miles that the team plays better without him.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Like, losing to LeBron sometimes is just losing to LeBron. Like, if the Celtics do advance and play the Cavs, and then LeBron just sweeps the Celtics, no one would be having this conversation about the Celtics. You know what I mean?
Shit, I would. Blow it up.
Well, yeah, but you're a dickhead.
Correct.
Everyone else would just be like, yeah, they just need to keep building what they're building. And for some reason, because, I don't know, Toronto has, like you said, plenty of young pieces, especially if they play Pirtle more and OG takes that step. Like, there really is no reason to believe that they can't just get to that next level next year.
Yeah, like, they won. If they were just number one, like, I think the number one seeds last year won, like, 51 games. Like, didn't y'all win 51 last year and was the one seed?
Probably. I didn't put much stock into that team.
I think it was either like 50, 51. This year, like 59. I know they had the third best point differential after the Rockets and Warriors. So it's like, that's a legitimately good team. There'll probably be calls to break it up, but I don't know. Unless they're going to consolidate, because they do have a lot of pieces. I don't know what or where they would go with it.
Yeah, I mean, Masai's pretty good about figuring out his roster on the fly, and I think he already has his core there, so if he can make a move without disrupting his core to get a different player in there, of all guys, he's going to do it, and he's going to do it probably very well.
Oh, yeah, and also probably very soon. Like, he probably already knows what deal he wants to do as soon as the season's over, which will probably be about 2 hours. He'll be on the phone.
I would hope so, yeah. He's probably going to trade, like, Ibaka during the draft for probably back to Orlando, get a higher pick.
Just for their number one pick straight up. For, like, the number 7 overall pick ended up being Colin Sexton.
Yeah, that's what they need. They need just, like, a cold-blooded killer on that team.
Man, hey, I slick think Orlando should just go back to Stan Van Gundy. Like, let's just both run it back, man. Like, it's like you move on from your ex and both of y'all be like, yeah, I'm happy after you. Neither one of y'all really happy, man. Come on, let's get this thing back together. It's going to end terribly, I'm just telling you. And everyone knows.
Definitely.
But why not? What coach would you be like, oh, yeah, they're going to turn it around. Like, if Becky Hammon went to Orlando, it would be a disaster, and that's not on her.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Anyone goes there. So, yeah, I mean, I guess just be a disaster with what you already know. Like, they're going to get Ayton. Him and Van Gundy are going to be really good for a few years, and then he's going to ruin them and hate them and drink Diet Coke in his face.
That's what I'm saying. But even then, that was like a 9-year run. That was pretty good. It was a good run. Let's get this thing back together. Stan just coaches. No GM. And, yeah, everybody wins. Except the Magic, who will lose a lot.
Frequently. More number one picks than anyone in my lifetime, that I believe. Maybe Cleveland? Cleveland might tie him by now.
Yeah, it feels like Orlando's due this year.
They are due. There's no doubting that. Did you see those people on the web talking about Becky Hammon cutting the line?
Oh, boy. Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, yeah. It was that same show that was making fun of the 18-year-old girl that we've spoken about before.
Sure.
And they were pointing out that she had no NBA playing experience. They meant that sincerely, too. They weren't.
It's true.
They weren't.
I remember when she got cut the last day of the Knicks training camp. It was a travesty. It was a goddamn travesty that they thought Salim Stoudemire was better than her.
They said she hadn't been an assistant long enough, as if every Spurs assistant doesn't get interviews like off the rip.
Right.
And it feels wrong.
Was Steve Kerr ever an assistant at all? Was Mark Jackson ever an assistant at all?
Nope. Jason Kidd signed his deal, I believe, 10 days after he retired.
Like, I get it because they played at the highest level, and she played at her highest level. So, like, what are we saying?
Right, and also, Kerr had been retired for quite some time, like, just announcing. Like, he had been out of the game for a minute.
Right. Also, like, Scott Brooks played, you know what I'm saying? But does that, like, that's the you know what I'm saying? That's the difference? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, their point was it's the blackest league in the world, and there should be more black coaches, which is a correct point. Like, you can make that point without having to tear down a woman who, by the way, there are no women coaches. So that's why there have never been any interviewed, to my knowledge.
Well, I think, that was the thing. She just got her interview with the Bucks was the first one for a head coaching job.
Yeah. So that's why cutting the line feels like a terrible choice of words.
Right.
Considering the line for women has been like 70 years.
Maybe it's more room for people of color and also women in the NBA. Wow. Wow.
Right. Because if you're trying to say minority coaches, I feel like women fall under that umbrella.
I agree. But what they have that menstruation. How are they going to, what's she going to say to Giannis, you know, at that time of the month, you know, big guy, you know what I'm saying?
It's going to be real tough for that team when Bears start attacking their practice facility.
True.
When Aunt Flo's in town.
Buddy.
but yeah, it's quite the, like, the NBA is a very progressive league, and then conversations like that pop up, and it's like, well, maybe we should all stop patting ourselves on the backs at every fucking turn.
Right. Also want to know, who is she cutting in line? Like, who's the, like, is there really, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody, like, one, like, hot button, like, oh, man, like, are you kidding me? He's been the assistant coach. Like, he's clearly the top, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the next person. Who's she
cutting? The last guy I can remember who was always, like, the next guy up was Brian Shaw, wasn't it?
I feel like the guy that I'm hearing right now is Stackhouse, which...
No, I'm not saying right. Like, Stackhouse is getting that buzz right now, but I feel like Shaw was, like, a decade. Like, oh, he's next.
Oh, yeah.
Like, any day now, he's going to get that.
Yeah, he's Phil Jackson's right-hand man.
Yeah, Stackhouse. But even Stackhouse, like, what'd he coach? D-League?
The G League. I can't remember who. I heard his name mentioned like in the Orlando job. I'm like, dear Lord, I hope he gets a better job to start out than that.
Yeah, I'd like to see. Here's the thing: there are going to be multiple vacancies this year. So to say like Becky Hammon shouldn't be near any of them feels like a stretch.
All right, she's cutting 19 people in line.
Yeah, that's the other part of it, too. Who are all these other guys? Like, Perk? Is Perk like one of these guys she's cutting in line? Because then I'll be furious.
Wait a minute. There we go. Stackhouse, he coached the Raptors G League team.
Okay.
He was G League Coach of the Year in 2017, and the team was crowned champion.
And Tyler, people don't like to talk about it. That team also didn't have Gordon Hayward.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, there's the Raptors' next head coach. I wonder where Dwayne Casey... So, yeah. Okay, if you want to say Becky Hammon's cutting Dwayne Casey in line. Maybe. Yeah, okay. But, I just want to hear these other names. Who else is she... Like, who is she keeping out of the way?
I don't know. Basically, like, if Pops had you under his wing for any amount of time, I'm probably going to want to at least interview you.
Yeah, they legit had, like, three or four assistants. They had, what's like, Messina, Becky Hammon, Udoka, and James Borrego, who used to coach Orlando. And all four of those are like current Spurs assistants that got interviews now. I don't think Borrego ever played. I don't know if he got a chance in Orlando. I don't know if he'd been an assistant for 5 years because he was a young guy, but I don't remember hearing this talk about him.
And Udoka played is a strong word for what he was doing out there.
Fair. Let's see. Okay, he was with the Spurs for a while, I stand corrected, but he didn't play.
He was on the roster?
He was not a
just assistant.
Yes, he was not affiliated with the Calculators.
You could just say any like first name, last name, and be like, yeah, he was on the Spurs bench for 17 seasons, and I'd be like, I believe it.
But oh yeah, I remember him. Him and Malik Rose.
I would also like to see one team just be like, you know what? We want to sign Rajon Rondo, but we don't have the cap space. But we can make him our coach and name him player coach, get around it that way. Now we were talking some ideas that get the McMahon support behind it.
That's the type of splash Orlando's going to make. He's going to go to Detroit and fist fight Reggie Jackson for control of the team.
Listen, they'd be in a better spot than they are currently.
Well, yeah.
Also, Blake Griffin was just on Pardon My Take. They immediately fire their coach. Coincidence? Hard to say.
I'd hate to see who they got on their on next show.
DeRozan.
Dwayne Casey just swallows exaggeratedly loud.
I like this new bit you're doing where you're just making very, very classic cartoon references.
Yeah, I'm just describing cartoons loud. It's my new shit.
Well, everything they did was loud back then.
Very.
Like, you know, like every pizza someone ordered was the size of a house.
Yeah, better times, I would argue.
You're not going to find any arguments from me, friend.
Man, oh man, people just put a whole lot of pies on windowsills. It smelled amazing. I couldn't believe how good them pies smell.
You could smell it from a mile away, and just the very scent, your feet would levitate off the ground, and you'd just hover on over to the pie.
It would just carry me over to it, man. Man, oh man, just like Granny used to make.
I haven't seen a pie on a windowsill in my entire life. When was this phenomenon sweeping the nation?
No, how many pies got like accidentally pushed over? How many pies ended
these
up
were all
the
like
dirt?
These were all like 90s commercials too. It wasn't even just like Looney Tunes in the 50s doing it. Like this was still a trope being used. Like people were cooling pies just by breathe. Like imagine like all of a sudden a quick hurricane strolls through. Now your pie is smashing against your neighbor's window.
I said you put a pie on a windowsill in Georgia, it cooks it even more. Now your pie's overcooked. Then what?
Yeah, you got a true piesman takes it out like 5 minutes early before they throw it on the windowsill in Georgia.
Yeah, so when Yogi Bear sneaks under it, he's got a little head start.
And takes your picnic basket.
Man, oh man. If you ever are out and about and you see a pie on a windowsill, you have to steal it, don't you?
1,000%.
I feel like you kind of have to.
1,000, baby, my hands are tied.
Yeah. It's like, man, oh man. If it's got the steam lines rolling off of it, you think I'm not going to take that pie? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Hey. Boy, listen, buddy, friend. Pal, compadre, amigo, that pie, it's getting eaten. I don't know. No officer would arrest me. You, they would arrest me.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Then also, like, how people steal the pie, they just dive into it with their hands. Just dive into a hot pie with their hands.
Well, that's like when, from the episode where Lisa plays hockey, Marge puts the pie on the window, and she's like, now, Homer, don't you touch this pie. He's like, got it. She walks away. He's like, all right, don't eat that pie. And he just starts biting towards it, smashes his head on the vent, and then he goes, oh, forget this, and he just starts taking out, like, perfect slices with his hands.
That's what we need more of.
Pies? I agree.
Yeah, more everything. Why is pie the only dessert that gets to, like, is pie the only hot dessert? You could chill. You could put anything on the windowsill.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've never had a hot cake. That sounds awful.
I disagree.
I guess like a multi, like a lava cake. Yeah, cookies.
Brownies. I know you don't like brownies, but a nice warm brownie.
I feel like those have to be warm.
I've never seen them chilling on the windowsill.
No. Oh, because you eat them hot. You gotta eat them. There's no time to get them to the window, so you gotta put them down your gullet.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want a cold piece of pie either.
I don't mind a room temp pie.
Room temp at the worst. If I've got some time, if it's still warm, or yeah, if not, it's going in the microwave.
Yeah, I don't hate that either. But like a hot cupcake, that sounds awesome. You can't even frost that.
It just slides off.
Yeah, that's why you don't see hot cakes, because you need to frost them. Mm. You simply can't.
You chill them on the freezer, put them on the top of the freezer. LeBron's hair looked good tonight, man. I don't know what he did to it.
Fresh paint. No, I just saw an angle where it was spotty.
I might have just caught a bad feed.
Yikes. Or you got a good one in his eye. Hmm. What are they even reviewing here?
I have no idea. Does it even matter?
No, 50-42. It's a good color-on-color matchup tonight. I like that. That's the one good part about all these black jerseys that have entered the league this past year or two, that it allows for more color-on-color. So Raptors are wearing red, which I feel like is a very one of their better jerseys these days.
Yeah, that's a good look.
And the Cavs black jersey is their only good jersey. So this is a quality matchup.
Okay, I'm surprised they didn't bring out the black sleeve jerseys, since they brought them out way too early last year. They just bring them out for no reason this year. Game 4 against Toronto.
Nike deaded the sleeve jerseys entirely.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're a smart company.
Well, they can't get sleeveless jerseys figured out. You think they're going to put more material expected not to rip?
They had to have figured it out, because those things were ripping every 2 seconds the first week of the season. Now, I haven't seen one rip since.
No, there's no way those are the same jerseys now.
They can't be. Nah. Nike knew they had this contract years ago, and they couldn't have botched this rollout any harder if they tried.
Yeah, I guess one's going to tear soon. That's right.
Well, you know now that we're talking about
it? You know what hadn't happened in a while? LeBron just goes to the rim, they just strip him nude.
That pretty much happened to him early in the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's going to happen right now. That's a flagrant one on Ibaka. LeBron's dick is out.
Yeah, he just bent over for this free throw. Yeah, his hair's still fucked up.
Yeah.
Would the Warriors, how much more worried would the Warriors be if, right game one, he just came with, a fresh picked head?
They'd have to know something was up. They were like, damn, this might take us 5.
Yeah, probably 6. I think LeBron, freshly, completely shaven head, wins 2 games for them.
What if it just goes the other way, just shows up with, dreadlocks? the fake Fetty Wap dreadlock.
Yeah, I was about to say, Fetty Wap.
Just pulled up into a bun, Future.
They canceled the series. They hand the trophy to the Warriors. Yeah,
this guy's off his rocker.
But we're going to read some ads, and then we're going to recap your trip to the Atlantic Northeast. They always call it the Pacific Northwest. They never describe the Northeast as anything other than the Northeast.
Yeah, you guys got to get a good adjective in there.
We have as much ocean as they do, friend. Let me be the first to tell you. I know you didn't see much of it.
I saw a little bit of it. I don't disagree.
You saw some big wharfs?
I did. A whole heap of wharfs. Some big wharfs.
It's a big wharf town. Doesn't get much bigger of a wharf town than Boston.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Don't step on it.
Yeah, you're right. I got excited. Let's be real. If your big Mother's Day surprise consists of one well-crafted text message, all caps, you need to go back to the drawing board ASAP. Also all caps.
You just yell Happy Mother's Day at your mother via text.
if all you're going to do for Mother's Day is text your mother, you're a terrible son and or daughter.
Yeah, don't even do that. I would say.
Moms deserve more than just emojis. Also agree.
Yes.
Do it right this year and celebrate mom with a special limited time offer from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can take care of all the mothers on your list. 1-800-Flowers will give you 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase. Ooh. That's right, vase, for only $29.99. Now that is an offer mom would approve of.
Instead of just being shouted at.
Like VH1 Peanut.
He's yelling like Miro.
Yeah. It took me so long to follow Miro just because of the all caps. Like, he's the only one on my timeline I allow with all caps.
I'll say it's an extreme move, but it's hard to pull off.
I just want to know, like, how they have their phone. Like, is there something you can change in settings, or are they just, like, double-tapping shift every single time?
It's got to be every single time. Unless there's an app. It might be a lane for an app.
That is preposterous if you're double clicking shift every single time to just strictly so you can yell.
Well, it's like Cam. I hope Cam is typing in, like, webdings or something. I hope he's not typing that shit in English with the way he talk.
Yeah, Cam is a crazy person. There's no one who even... Like, if you follow Cam and you read everything he says, like, you probably... Your brain's just going to explode one of these days.
I was like, yeah, if you follow Cam at all, they got to be talking... It looks like serial killer letters, like cut out. Where they cut out
right, each single letter. Right, ransom note.
Yeah, ransom note. That's how the shit's look.
24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for only $29.99. Guys, can you not mention
ransom next time in the Mother's Day? Thanks.
How much would you pay to get your mother back? I would pay $29.99.
Not a dime more.
But hurry, because this offer expires soon and very soon. Just pick your delivery date and 1-800-Flowers will handle the rest. Don't put this off. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. It's what mom would want you to do. To order 24 multicolored roses plus a free vase for only $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, smash the radio icon on their homepage, and enter the code MICK. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code MICK.
Heck yeah.
Do it. I did it yesterday. It was a great idea by me. She's going to be thrilled.
She will be thrilled. She won't believe how good those roses look.
She simply won't. And then I'm going to text her all lowercase letters.
Yeah, just play it chill. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, just no need to cause a stir in the Mick residence.
Yeah, nah, we go way back. There's no there's nothing new over here.
This podcast is also presented by mybookie.ag. Hmm. You think you know who's going to win the ball?
Yes.
What? A game tonight?
No, yes, I said yes.
I didn't. Lay down some money and get in on the action at the safest online sports book in the world. And it's the only one that we recommend to our listeners today. MyBookie.ag offers all kinds of different wagers on Major League Baseball as well as the NBA playoffs, which is far more pertinent to what we're talking about.
Allegedly.
Go check them out now. Use promo code TAPE for a 50% bonus when you deposit. What does that mean? You deposit $100, bang, they give you 50 additional dollars. If I tried to do that with any other number, I would not be able to do it as quickly.
I'm still... I'll just take your word for it.
They offer pretty much every sport and every league around the world, including esports and League of Legends and Counter-Strike. In addition, if you're into casino games like blackjack, roulette, craps, why not whitejack or slots, mybookie.ag has it all. Not to mention, but I'm going to mention it, you can play all of their games on your cell phone, iPad, tablet computer, whatever you prefer. You can literally play from anywhere. You play, you win, you get paid. So if you want to get in on this action this summer, spring, fall, winter, those are the seasons. Go to mybookie.ag now and sign up with them using promo code TAPE, T-A-P-E, to ensure that you're eligible for all future promotions and bonuses. Visit Las Vegas from your couch and try them out today. Once again, mybookie.ag, promo code T-A-P-E.
All right.
Stephen Che got a little hasty. So it's a Barstuk ad, and I was like, that's a, that company's almost named like our company.
I was going to say, I'm not reading for any competitors.
Yeah, no, but it, it is the Barstool Sports store, and this is a big-time deal. If you go to store.barstoolsports.com and use promo code TAPE, that's T-A-P-E, we're taking 15% off.
What kind of all gear of are we talking, shit. Though?
Oh, we're talking the premium line. That's KFC's line.
Heck yeah.
Quilted hoodies, bomber jackets, Henley t-shirts. Perfect. Well, he does that. That guy does crank out children left and right. Henley t-shirts, perfect for the summer. Whatever you need. And also, right now, the Scary Terry line is killing the game.
Booming.
If you don't have a Scary Terry shirt by now, you're a buffoon. Simply a buffoon.
Imagine.
The biggest complaint I get with the Scary Terry shirts is that each one seems to be better than the last one. And people are like, oh man, I just ordered the last one. How could I order this one? Easy, friend. You go to the exact same website, you put it in your cart, you smash purchase. Only this time, you get 15% off.
But how? How do they get that 15% off?
You enter the promo code TAPE at checkout. That's store.barstoolsports.com. Use the promo code TAPE for 15% off. It also says here, don't tell Portnoy. No, fuck that. You take a screenshot, you show him the savings, you at him with it, and then you put a bunch of crying emojis. Like, I just robbed you blind, Portnoy.
I'm telling you, I've seen it ruin his day. I saw him one time throw a perfectly good lunch away. Somebody bought a couple mixtape shirts and sent him or added him with the receipt. He threw a perfectly good lunch away.
He couldn't eat. He was sick. Sick to his stomach.
Could not believe it.
We also, the Scary Terry shirts are what we're mainly pushing right now. We have something in the works coming this summer that, I mean, you're going to look, if you think you're going to be able to not buy this shirt, buddy, let me tell you, you are incorrect.
Oh, boy.
But Withers, you have had a longstanding rivalry with the city of Boston, not with anyone in particular, but just with the idea of the city, more or less.
Correct. And to be fair, they had the same rivalry with the idea of me.
And it's still going strong.
On both ends.
But we took a train up. Our train podcast was still in the top 40 on Apple when I looked when I was leaving today. I didn't check the day after we posted it like I normally do because we were actually doing work, and I had no time to do that.
I can't believe it was ever there. I can't believe anyone ever listened to that.
Well, that means it was, like, way higher because we released that – did we release that Thursday or Friday? Thursday. We released that Thursday afternoon.
It was on Thursday.
And so that means Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday all went by. That's 4 days. Usually, like, even Part of My Take, when they drop a show, 2 days later, that particular show is out of the top, like, 50. So for us to still be in the top 40 for a four-hour podcast in which we were just on a train and talking about like the trees we were passing and the cows and
I can't believe anyone lit. And then we really got to the nitty gritty with Dana.
So I mean,
if you stuck around for that, it's a real treat. I just looked up and saw the score of this game. Fuck, man, blow the Raptors up. Forget everything I said 20 minutes ago. Trey Lowry, I'd cut Valanciunas.
Yeah, at this point, there's no point. But we went up to Boston. Marcus Smart had the shooting night of his life. And before that, we walked around literally all of downtown. At the time, you gave Boston an 8 out of 10. Is that your final score, or do you have a different score for the city of Boston?
I'm trying to think. I know I knocked it for the weather. We got some wild weather. I think I knocked it for... Yeah, no pepperoni on the pizza. Had a great slice of pizza, but it wasn't... didn't have any pepperoni on it.
Yeah, I mean, the wild weather, I can't even argue like, oh, no, you should give that point back, because that's just what Boston is. The weather is... You never know what you're going to get. So it's an accurate score on that behalf. We went to Regina's on the north end. you had to get the cheese because we were doing a pizza review. That's not my decision. That's just how the company is. But yeah, I mean, an 8 out of 10, if you had told me ahead of time that was a score you were going to give us, and I would have been, my jaw would have smashed through the ground and all of my teeth would have been piano keys. So I would have been quite pleasantly surprised.
You and me both. There's a lot of roastable things in the city. A lot of just various very big statue city.
Big huge statues.
Huge. Man, those statues and the bridges are bigger than my great-grandparents, both of them.
Also a big cemetery city.
Man, folks be dying like shit in Boston. Holy smokes.
Now you see where our attitude comes from.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's why y'all be so crummy.
Death just constantly pounding down people's doors.
Holy smokes. Man, I literally saw like a children's nursery that overlooked a cemetery with Ben Franklin's bones in it.
Literally, yeah, no American citizens in that cemetery, I don't believe, because everyone who died then was still technically British.
God damn, y'all old as fuck and dead as fuck.
Yep, you're not lying.
Sheesh.
What did you think of the in-game experience at the Garden itself? You saw a good one.
Very good. Very good. The best seats I've ever had.
Not even just the seats, like the atmosphere, like people actually watching an NBA game. I know that's not something you're accustomed to.
Oh yeah, no. Well, people, I'm not accustomed to people at all in an NBA game. So that alone, I was like, oh, there's people on the left and right of me. What the fuck is this?
We also tried to make you as comfortable as possible. We shipped Gucci in just so you could feel at home.
Oh yeah, the stars were in the building. I appreciate them coming out for my arrival and also departure from Boston.
Gucci, Kevin Hart, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, Meek Mill.
Roz.
Tyler pulled. This hasn't been talked about enough. I meant to say it several times between Thursday and now. Tyler, we were sitting in the third row, right behind the scorer's table, and we noticed Roz, from formerly of the Golden State Warriors, currently of TNT, was just sitting pretty much directly in front of us on the court. And I think it was right after halftime, I turned to, you were sitting on my right. I turned to say something to you. You were nowhere to be found. And then I just look on the court and you were just drumming up a conversation with her. Like you were supposed to be down there.
I was supposed to be down there. You think fate allowed me to be that close to Roscoe? You think I'm not going to go talk to her? Are you kidding me?
No, trust me. I was the one who told you to go talk to her. I just thought you were going to wait. You were going to lean over the railing. No, you were basically sitting in her lap.
Yeah. I slid her my the ball's in her court.
No, yeah, she's a very lovely
woman. I complimented on her years of great work.
Of course. We respect women on this podcast, so you wouldn't have even thought to do anything else.
And off the podcast.
Okay, well, speak for yourself. No,
fair.
And yeah, you saw Marcus Smart have the game of his life. You got to witness
the Sixers.
On his first three shots, yeah. You got to witness your Sixers up 22 and then your Sixers down like 10. Like it was a wild game.
It was. Like I told somebody, yeah, early on, me and Lou were high-fiving. We were having a good old time. We were up like 22. Then we were losing. Me and Gaz were high-fiving. We were having a good old time.
Oh, man. It was a hell of a game that it feels like it happened years ago after watching them lose to the Sixers today.
I'm also glad we got to see the one-pointer that's going to be something I think that goes on forever. Like how big it is on his resume is up to him, but it's on there.
Well, that was the thing because anyone who goes to games realizes this, but I hadn't been to a game like in the flesh in years. So like all those, the first three quarters went by and I was just worried about the comeback. I had assumed Simmons probably had like 11, just like it didn't feel like he was playing great, but And then in the fourth, you looked up at the Jumbotron. You were like, Simmons really only has 1 point? And I was like, no, that has to be some sort of misprint. Like the scorer, the operator must be just mistaken.
Couple light bulbs out.
Yeah, zero must be like supposed to be up there. Like maybe he has 10. No, one whole American point.
Yeah, so I'm glad I got to see that in the flesh. I'm glad I got to see Joel Embiid in the flesh. Like I being that close, I see why Al Horford calls himself a four. Because he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm not the same species as that guy. And that's not a knock on either one of them. It's just like, yeah, I'm good at what I do. He's good at what he does, but we're not the same. Joel Embiid is 7'8" and weighs 376 pounds.
Yeah, he's 7'8", and Al Horford's also 6'5". So
yes, Al Horford is the same exact height as Simi Ojeleye.
A burly boy unto his own right, but yeah, one of those guys plays the three, the other one like covers and beat. So it was jarring to see that close, because going to a game, like no matter where you sit, you realize just how much faster the game is than even on TV. You get to see like just how difficult it is to even get the ball on offense, running through screens and running through all that traffic. And then you see just how large Joel Embiid is, and you're just like, oh yeah, that like even with the injuries, how did that guy not go first?
Right. Well, it's like also in watching them run, like it was like the scores table. What we were looking across was like between us, the scores table and the basket was like Kevin Hart and Gucci. So you just see somebody take like one dribble at Kevin Hart and they're at the rim. I'm like, oh wow. Like, oh, that's probably 25 feet of ground he covered.
Right. So yeah, that was an experience I can't imagine forgetting until dementia sits in, but
soon.
Yeah, hopefully. That was incredible. Then we went back to New York the next day.
I will say, I think the point was food. I wanted to try more food in Boston. We didn't get to try.
I know,
more
that was
food.
Tough. It was tough. We were trying to make a video that should be out this week, probably Wednesday, so tomorrow. I do wish we had tried more food. We spent a lot of time in the North End and only really had Regina's. We should have just stopped inside Quincy Market because there's all like every place in there has food. But you're also never going to go back to Boston, so you only got to try that one pizza place, and that was it.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. What the conference finals heats up? I'd hate to go to Cleveland and also Boston again.
I'd probably hate to go to Cleveland, but I definitely wouldn't hate to go to Boston. What did you think of trains overall, as someone who's never even seen one?
They were much better than I thought. Like I was just expecting it to be like MARTA, like the public train.
And it is not.
No, very much. Like we're going to record on the train. So I was just imagining it like recording a podcast on an airplane. I was like, man, I was like, we're going to be those dickheads. You hate to do it, but wow. And no, there were tables and nice people on the trains and cafe cars, bathrooms,
yeah, what,
wheels, everything. Track, wow.
One thing you said was like we were waiting for like a takeoff sequence like a plane, but no, once everyone was just on the train, we just started. There was no announcement, like we just started going.
Yeah, no, I like it much more. I won't say much more efficient just because you're going more slowly, but it's like some bang for your buck. It's like sitting in rush hour traffic versus taking the shortcut, which is not really a shortcut, but you're moving, so it feels like you're doing something.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, train life is where it's at, and especially the one-hour train from Boston to Philly we took on Saturday.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, from New York to Philly.
Yeah, that was cake. Even, But no, Boston was, what, 3.5, 4? Yeah, 4.
Yeah.
That was probably my max. I just...
Right.
I get antsy.
No, definitely.
I'm very fussy. I need to be taken out and burped.
And there was also one point we were sitting on the train. Tyler just pulled out his vape, started ripping it, which was a wild move.
Yeah, I knew something was up because you and Dana, white men, were both like, hey.
I was just looking
out. Pistol or something.
I was just looking out for you, pal.
I appreciate it.
You would bet. You were like, I did it on the plane. I was like, yeah, they can't just stop the plane at the next stop and kick you off.
Yeah, they just throw me out. I just live in Kalamazoo now.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's a much easier thing to be like, no, you're done here, pal.
Yeah, working on a train seems like a good gig. I want to go put on that nice mesh hat and slip those tickets.
Yeah, no, it's the train life is the life. I've been trying to preach it. I'm glad you see part of the light. But then Saturday we went down to Philly. Much nicer people than advertised.
They threw batteries at us. I couldn't believe it.
But we were at Broad Street Bullies Pub. Did a live 2-hour show there. Those people, I think, are ready to hire us at a given moment. So once people realize this podcast is a sham, we at least have a place to go work.
Oh, yeah. I think we could just live there.
Correct.
They'd be like, yeah, you could just live in our office. We'll get you a key. We'll put you on the staff. We'll get you, like, you can work in the kitchen. You can work the bar. It's fine. You live in Philly now.
We saw our close personal friend, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, in the same section as a man. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they had us in VIP for a minute. It was just a grand old time. That whole, I like that they just have all of their stadiums at the, like, it's not like, oh, wait, how do we get to Fenway? How do we get to Gillette? No, it's just, you know where to get to one, you know where to get to all of them.
Right. Why that's not in every city is amazing.
Well, as you can tell from Boston, there simply isn't any space to do that. Like, wherever we put them originally is just where they are now.
I don't even hate that, but it's like Atlanta was, they were closer, and it was like, oh, no, let's move the baseball team way out.
To a different county.
Yeah, let's...
But we got to Philly, we immediately ate, and that was the start of Tyler's eventual demise as he got sick and ended up missing most of the game.
Yeah, I remember the first quarter. I remember the fourth quarter. Everything in between I remember the overtime and the confetti, so I feel like I saw the important parts.
Yeah, you got to see two iconic Philly moments, the Ben Simmons 1-point game and also the confetti game, which I would like to get more jokes off.
Coincided with the Robert Covington 1-point game, wow.
I would like to get more jokes off about it now, but we just lost to them, so it doesn't feel as funny. It will be once we close out this series funny again, but at the moment, I'm not as joyous.
Understandable.
But what do you rank? You've been to Philly before, so it's not quite the same, but what did you rank Philly on this trip?
Outside of the getting ill, which could have been me. I'm not pointing any fingers. It was good. The people were very, again, much nicer. I know you're like, man, I don't know if that Warriors hat's going to fly. And literally the first person to talk to was like, I'm from Philly, but I'm big fans, man. You guys welcome here. If you need anything, I'll give you the shirt off my back. You guys need your feet rubbed. I got you.
Well, I was more worried about, like, in the game and, like, leaving the game. But even then, they were just so demoralized that they couldn't even, like, build up the energy to be angry.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was – I remember that very vividly because when that game was over, it was just so quiet in there. It was just like, oh, yeah. Wow. And I was like, welp.
And it was so loud when they tied the game. Wow, what happened?
There was so much confetti.
So much. Why that wasn't, I was talking about it today. If they had just called the tech, which they should have, for a delay of game, and then Tatum just walked to the line, hit a free throw, well, game over, see you guys later. Like, that would have been the only thing that would have made it funnier.
That would have been great.
He just struts over the line like they're still sweeping confetti. He's like, no, you guys can stay there. This one's, I got this.
Hey, some of they come clear it out like they do for, like, Vinatieri, so there's a place to kick in the snow.
But yeah,
it was good. The fans were good. The fans were very nice leaving the game.
Yeah, that T-shirt vendor, they had one that was like, they were like those credit card guys. You sign up, you get a free shirt.
Yeah,
they were trying to get some shirts off after the game. It said something like, "This is our year" or "This is our time." And he was like, he said something to me, and I was like, "Is it your time?" And he goes, "Yeah. Our time to fucking lose," and even the Sixers fans walking by shared a hearty laugh in that.
Yeah, it was like, what can you do? Guys got good timing, good delivery.
Yeah, I mean, good timing makes everybody happy.
Correct. But the only thing I just wish that they would have got into the series there. Like, I know we still had to leave right after, but it just would have been like a different walk. Like, if they had won and it was like, it's 2-1 now, we might actually have a series versus it's like, well, that was that.
I would have got torn limb from limb if they had won that game.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I was just getting my second win by then. I was back on my feet. I would have had your back.
There was a monster truck rally going on at the link, which sounded like just a tremendous event.
Man, oh man. If I could have gotten in touch with Brad, I was like, just change my ticket to the morning jet.
The people at Broad Street have set up a cot for me. I'm going to sleep there. Yeah. And,
Angie, the manager at the restaurant would have just laid down and just, like, you all can just sleep in my car. I'll sleep outside.
Yeah. They were tremendous. I've been to Philly many times, so it's hard for me to rank. We also didn't get to try much food there. The food that you did try killed you.
Correct.
Although I did have some, you missed some decent crab fries at the game, I will say that.
Were they hot or cold?
Oh, they were hot. Whatever Smitty was talking about was just blatantly incorrect.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I do hate that I missed it.
Yeah, me and Roan shared a bucket, and yeah, that was that. That was, I don't know, I've always said Philly's just feels like a, like Boston's, like, brother that was born a few years later.
Younger?
Correct. Yeah, little brother.
I could see... Philly's bigger than Boston. I mean, I guess... Like, is Philly big, though? Because I think, like, that's what I told you. Boston's a lot smaller than I thought, and I think also New York is a lot bigger than I thought.
New York's definitely a lot bigger than you still think, even right now.
Correct. I still think it's the size of, like, two Rhode Islands now.
Yeah. And Philly, I don't know, because, like... I bet Philly's city limits are bigger, but so is Boston, because you really only saw downtown. Philly's downtown doesn't feel that big to me either, just from, like, going to the places where you, like, you're supposed to go.
Right.
So I don't know. It just feels they were built, like, around the same time. I don't know. They just – one's a grid and one isn't, so it just, like – I don't know. They feel very similar to me.
Maybe they're the same place. Train just rode us around in a circle, man. I'm just saying.
But yeah. So you would rank it after this experience, Boston, Philly, New York, or would you go Philly, Boston, New York?
I'm trying to think. I think I go Boston number one. I think I was just had such low expectations for Boston.
So this, and we shattered them.
Shattered them with ease. Had a nice walk in the park.
Yeah, the Common. We took you to the Common, Faneuil Hall, Quincy Market, the Garden, obviously.
I should have did a fried dough.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're, like, renowned for our fried dough, but you probably would have enjoyed it because it's fried dough. It's hard to fuck up.
Correct. Is it fried? Yes. Is it dough? Yes, I'll take it.
Yeah, powdered sugar, cinnamon, have myself a day. Yeah, if we do go back, definitely... try and get there earlier in the day, and we also want to do a whole walking tour of the city, so we can just go to places that have food and just run through it all.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Boston, Philly, yeah, New York's in three right now.
That strong agree.
They're gonna yell at me. Philly gonna yell at me for not being like, Boston gonna yell at me for being one. They should have been one, two, and three. What's wrong with you, dickhead?
You know, I'm on their side.
I know you are. I know you are.
I was pleased you left with only being called your name.
I think.
To your face, at least.
Yeah. Well, they call me in their head, behind their back. That's their business.
I was pumped. Like, every corner we turned was just someone I knew, which was a wild scene.
It was. Carly just planted various people from his high school around the city. Just seemed like the man. Wow, it's Coley Mick, the quarterback of the football team.
Well, that's simply not true, because one of those kids I literally haven't seen since eighth grade, and I barely knew him then. So that was just a wild scene. And then Chris Donald, literally one of the best basketball players I've ever seen, was a grade above me. We had said, like, 20 words in high school. We did a lot more communicating after, just because I got markedly better at basketball, and that helped him respect me more as a human.
Sure, opened up communication passages.
Yeah. When I was on JV and he was on varsity, I remember one time he just locked up, and it was when like the 2K4 Hirachis had come out. And I was playing in those, and he was like, "Man, where'd you get those?" And I was like, "Foot Action." He was like, "Cool." That was that.
We were BFF since.
Yeah. But yeah, then afterwards, like I told you, we used to play at the Boston Sports Club where the Celtics practice, and that's where real beaters go to play, Tyler.
Oh, you telling me like I don't know. Like I wasn't there for those games.
But yeah, seeing him was one of the more random things that's ever happened. But I appreciated it. Shout out Chris Donald, again, one of the best hoopers in Massachusetts state history.
I just look back and Coley's talking like two guys who are both bigger than he is. I'm like, what the hell part of town are we in?
Yeah, Chris is 6'5 like me, and then the dude he was with was a smooth 6'10. Like, should easily. Probably.
Like, I was legit looking at his face, like, do I know his face? Like, that's like that level of tall. Like, nah, you really might have used to play somewhere.
Right, that's what I was like, Jesus Christ. And nope, he was like, yeah, I bounce at every bar in the city. And I was like, I believe it.
I could see that simultaneously because it's a small city and I'm a big man.
It was wingspan just goes from the wharf to the North Shore. But yeah, we get you up there like in the summer, take like a nice harbor cruise at night. Those are usually bumping.
Was that out on the water?
Yeah, it's just like a boat. It's just like a booze cruise. It goes around the harbor, and there's just like unlimited booze on there. Yeah, it's tough to beat. And you don't go like far out on the water either. You just like basically just make like a huge lap.
I was saying, you do that. Boats don't fuck you up.
No. If we were like at sea and I couldn't see land, yeah, I'd be fucked up.
Gotcha. You're doing some deep sea fishing.
Yeah, like, yeah, that I wouldn't be able to do, but just being, like, essentially, like, docked, like, right, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Dude, yeah, I can get with it.
Yeah, no, it's, I feel like you have to see Fenway, just because it's fucking, like, that's the keystone of Boston.
Yeah, I would like, that's what I was looking for, and it was nowhere to be found.
Oh, it's just not like in the middle of downtown. It's like its own area.
As is Foxborough.
Foxborough's fucking super far. Definitely not walking distance.
Yeah, that's Philly's got you beat there. I really like all three of them. And then also having a place like Xfinity Live, like within distance of all those. That's a point in Philly's favor.
I don't hate what Philly has, but I guess growing up in Boston, each of the three feels so unique to themselves. Like Robert Kraft just has his own thing going on, like basically like in Rhode Island. And then Fenway, it's just like Fenway. It's fucking Fenway. I don't know. Fenway's in a place where if they literally add like 10 more seats, it's going to sink into the ground because it's built on a marsh. Like I don't want that any other way. And then the garden's just like in the heart of the city. So I don't know. It feels correct to me. And they're all like within, well, those two are within spitting distance of each other. So it's Philly definitely has it figured out, but I'm not mad at what Boston has going on.
I am. That shit far.
But yeah, I assume the Raptors are officially dead.
They're currently down 16 points. So yes.
Yeah, they're dead. Celtics and Philly.
Yuck.
Yeah, the Warriors started their death lineup in game four, and that was that.
They've still just got like six levels nobody else has.
Correct, yeah. It's really just, like I said, I was hoping for Philly-Cleveland. It's looking incredibly doubtful just because it's something new, something different to watch. And that's not what we're getting. We're getting Boston-Cleveland all over again before Cleveland-Warriors all over again. And we all know how both those are going to go.
They do. Though, to be fair, Boston has shown me a lot this series. They're I don't think it'll be the series easy for LeBron last year. Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, he might have to break precisely one sweat.
I think we probably win two, and the losses won't be blowouts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like if Juice was held, like what? I don't even know how many minutes he played tonight. It still feels like two. I don't know.
It's tough because when he's played, we've needed him. So it's a hard line. Like, I don't think they're playing him more than like 4 minutes consecutively or something like that. Like, that's what they figured out will not make his hamstring explode. I don't know.
I guess.
But yeah, I am interested. I'm more interested to see it just to see like, all right, we'll get Kyrie and Hayward back next year. And all these other guys already have like the confidence of starters, so let's see what we can do with the full squad next year. Although Cleveland won't be the same next year, so it's actually pointless.
Or maybe they will. No, they won't. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that'd be foolhardy.
I'm joshing you. There's no way.
But yeah, short one. Do you have anything else?
I mean, if you're interested in Houston Jazz at all,
I'm not. I sure am not. They're going to win. Chris Paul, congrats on getting rid of the jokes.
Mitchell's doing an awful lot of complaining.
He is, and I hate it. It's the same thing I've been saying about Embiid. Like, Mitchell was doing a lot of chirping when everything was going, when it was blue skies and everything was going great for him, and now he's just reverted back, or not reverted, he's just turned into a big complainer. Like, yeah, James Harden shoots a lot of free throws. Like, what do you want, dude?
Yeah, that's how he wins his MVP. Yeah, that's exactly how he did it. Like, what you should try it. Like, what are you getting
at? Take notes. Take note is literally Utah's hashtag on Twitter. So, yeah, try it.
Yeah, the only thing I had is I'm starting to wonder about Embiid's three-point shot. I do think he hit a couple tonight.
But he also airballed a couple tonight.
He was 2 for 5, swished those two, and had the airball. But it's... I don't know. I'm just starting to wonder, like, is this year what he is, or was last year what he is? Like, which one is the real MB? Because last year he was 37. This year he's at 31. And in playoffs he's at 30.
I do wonder if it's just part of his conditioning, because his form is fine.
Right. That's what, like, but I feel like I would love to see his percentage by quarter.
Right, like it's like 80 in the first quarter and like negative in the fourth.
Right, yeah, he can't buy a bucket after halftime.
Yeah, so I do. His form's fine. I'm honestly shocked he's in the 30s for this season and these playoffs, because I feel like he was at like 25 forever.
He went one for six. He got hot.
Even if he is like a career 33% shooter, is that like not a guy you want like putting up three like in a game? Like, just if he's going to hit one but put up three, like I feel like that still has value.
Well, the thing, I think it's going to depend a lot more what they do around him. Because if he's doing that and Simmons is not a threat at all.
And he sure isn't.
Again, Robert Covington has scored like 4 points in two games. So it's like you can't have three non-threats out there. Like in this NBA. And so it's like, okay, yeah, 33% is fine in theory, but if I'm still the other team, yeah, shoot them all day.
Right, you're not getting any of my guys.
Yeah, take 9 threes at 33%. Like, if you make three, I'm fine with it. So I do wonder, but I think it can be, like, what they do around him, because if they get more spacing, it might not matter. But, and again, more space would probably help him too. So that's just the thing I had written down.
What I will say is the threes he took today and pretty much most of the series, he's had plenty of space to get these off.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like once they stop like going for the pump fake, because this thing is like during the regular season, they go for the pump fake. It doesn't really care. You're open. You're spacing the floor. In the playoffs, they don't, and they're already playing off Simmons. So that's basically two dudes in like center field. Like the rest of your offense is in bad shape. Covington's not shooting at all. So you've got like two dudes spacing for five. It didn't work.
What kills me is we have been falling for his whack ass pump. His pump fake stinks. It shouldn't work on anyone.
It's very slow.
It's very slow, and it's clearly not him shooting. Like it's not his shooting form at all.
Well, here's the thing: if he shoots it, who's blocking it? No one. What are you doing?
Right.
Like what? Like outside of like Mo Bamba and Gobert and Anthony Davis.
Right.
What is Aaron Baines doing? 6'8" Aaron Baines doing, like, jumping on Joel Embiid's pump fake? Get out of here. Go into the basket.
Right. Yeah, just don't even run out at it.
That's what, like, yeah. There are probably three or four human beings in the world that could maybe get a finger on it. Everyone else should just, like, get back.
Meet him, like, halfway, maybe. Just, like, jog out lightly so he doesn't, like, run by you.
Yeah. Hand in his face. Everybody wins here. But no, they'll do that, and people, like, jump over his head. Like, you were going to, one, if you were going to get any part of it anyway, and two, like, it was going to go in. That guy stinks.
Right, yeah, no, he's bad at shooting. I've been thrilled, honestly, every time he's launched one this series.
Anytime he, that's what I'm saying. So if he wants to take 9, 10, 3, like, whatever, he took 5 tonight, fine with it. If he hit all 5, I'm fine with it.
I will also say, for as bad as I thought the refs were, there was a call. It was either in the third or fourth quarter where Horford literally just ripped Embiid's arm, like, out of bounds, and they called an offensive foul. Arguably the worst call of the game in a game where Marcus Smart dove for a loose ball and got a foul called on him. So that was impressive.
Yeah, shouldn't have been scrappy.
But yeah, we'll be back. We'll record Wednesday. I'm definitely not going to record after the game again. I got too cocky. That's on me.
It happened.
I was definitely like, yeah, we'll record after. I'll gloat. It'll be a grand old time. I could have done that before the game and just been like, yeah, I was wrong. But no, chose to do it after the game. And that's what happens. I have to humble.
I know, yeah. I am. Again, imagine me picking Philly to do anything ever again after this. They go 82-0 next year. I'm like, I don't, they bit me in 2018, man.
That's the mindset of a gambler right there. I know Dave completely thinks Josh Rosen's going to stink because every time he bet on him, he was on the wrong side of it.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
Yeah, confirmation bias. I don't hate it.
There's enough logic there. But I was truly hoping for the sweep in which the Celtics were massive underdogs for the whole series and also underdogs in all four games.
That would have been
tremendous.
Especially, like, again, against the division rival. Like, this is somebody you're fingers crossed, I hope y'all play him every year for the next 10 years.
Correct.
I can't wait for this to happen 3 years from now. I'm like, my God, I'm so fucking tired of Celtic Sixers. We get this every year.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I hope for it to be Colts Patriots, pretty much. Like, I just hope.
Right.
No, it's year after year.
Did you see would you rather have a Giannis or Brad Stevens stuff going around?
Dude, I tweeted about it yesterday. It's all the same media members who were bashing Celtics fans for praising this guy when we had shit and he was, like, drawing, like, cool out-of-bounds plays and, like, made shitty players look good. Here's the thing. He's not doing anything different. He just doesn't have shitty players anymore.
I don't disagree. But, like, what – so how – you'd rather have Giannis and Brad Stevens, yes?
Correct.
Okay, so what, like, how good of a player would you have to be, like, I'd take Brad Stevens?
Like, DeRozan?
Okay, so, like, I was going to say, like, all-star, but that's an all-NBA player.
Well, I was going to say, like, the 20s. Like, I know technically being all-NBA makes you that top 15, but I'd say DeRozan's probably, like, actually, like, the 26th best player in the league.
He's just very durable.
Right, yeah. So, like, probably, I don't know, because now the more I'm talking about it, like, it's probably like that top 15 I would take, and then Stevens would be like 6. Like, if I think if you were ranking all the assets, yeah, I think that's a better way to say it. If you're ranking all the assets in the NBA, Stevens is probably like 19th, somewhere around there.
Okay, so if Paul George this year says he signed with Boston, but he wants Stevens out of there, you say no thanks, right?
Definitely say no thanks.
But if LeBron does, you do it for LeBron.
Well, he's kind of a player coach, but that one's tough because age factors in. Like, I think Stevens is going to be with the Celtics longer than LeBron's just playing basketball. So that one, I don't know. It's also tough because this, like, I think it more like building a team because Boston already has, like, a very, like, strong young core. So it's like, I don't really need the player as much right now.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? But if it were a brand new franchise, like, they have nothing, like, then I'm leaning more towards Paul George.
Okay, other way. What if, okay, it's time for Juice to resign. He says Stevens has to go.
How dare you?
Or he goes.
How dare you?
I was going to say Tatum.
That would probably make it easier for me.
Who? Okay, you know, who'd you do?
About Juice?
That's why I asked.
Yeah, no. I mean, Juice is intellectual. He would never. If Juice said that guy needs to go, I'm Juice knows something the rest of us don't. I'm with Juice.
But if Tatum, what if Tatum said it?
That guy, he went to Duke. He doesn't know anything. Get that guy out of here.
Fair. I just I see where they're coming from. Like I really do, because there is value to somebody that can make whoever he has better. But it was like 51-49. I'm like, come on, dude. It's fucking Giannis. Don't be silly.
Oh, I thought it finished like 66-34. Like, I think it finished like heavily for Giannis.
Okay, good. The last time I saw it was like 52-40. It was very close.
Yeah, no. Bomani quote tweeted it this morning after like you could no longer vote on it, and it finished like heavily in Giannis's favor. But so like it's a. I was gonna say a but I don't even like playing devil's advocate because it's a really stupid conversation.
Sure.
I'm glad. Like, I saw someone earlier today replying to I think Ryan Russillo said what Brad Stevens is doing right now is more impressive than anything Popovich did just as a coach, which I disagree with. But if we're working under that premise, someone quote tweeted it and just listed where all of like Smart, Tatum, Juice, Rozier, I think that was it, were drafted. Oh, and Al Horford, where they were all drafted. And I was thinking about it. I was like, the Al Horford signing has been panned by Celtics and non-Celtics fans. The Juice pick was panned by Celtics and non-Celtics fans. The Tatum pick was panned by Celtics and non-Celtics fans. The Rozier pick was panned by everyone in the world. And the Smart pick was like, yeah, there was no one else to take really other than Randall. And most people were okay with it. So it's like, I don't know if we can like either we're giving Brad Stevens credit for this or we're giving Danny Ainge credit for this. But some people are choosing to do neither, which is blowing my mind.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I blame me. Yeah, neither one of those guys. You can get any old bum in the street to pick those players. Get Stan Van Gundy in there, and Boston would have the same success.
It's just this: we wouldn't have any of these players.
or the success. But what were you saying?
Correct. It's just this revisionist history that I always call it out when I see it because I think that like I really hate revisionist history more than like most things. I see it a lot with Rondo, like Rondo was never that good with the Celtics type talk from both the national and local like fans, media, what have you. That shit drives me absolutely insane. And now we're seeing it with like, oh, Ainge made all these obvious picks. Like, of course he was like, of course you take Jalen third. Like, no, that wasn't the obvious thing at the time, you fucking asshole.
Of course anyone could have Rozier. We're giving a guy credit for that now.
Ainge makes more difficult picks early and late in the draft that he'll apparently just never get credit for. And now Stevens is also not getting credit because Ainge made the obvious picks. Like, it's just driving me up a fucking wall. Like, I don't know what to do, Tyler. It's tough times.
You're going to have to talk to, like, R.C. Buford and Popovich. Like, guys, how do you cope? And they're like, with five rings and lots of money. It gets us through.
Well, if they win five rings and in turn I get lots of money, yeah, I'll probably cope with it.
I was going to say, I'd take the lots of money. We can they can split the winning among themselves.
It's just like, I don't even think Ainge and Stevens care about the credit. I know they don't because they just, I don't think they, well, Ainge is actually super petty. He reads everything and he like roasts reporters when they try and talk to him after they write something terrible about him. It's one of the things I love about him.
I'll say that's fair. I don't hate that.
Stevens, I don't think his, like, I can't imagine he cares what the media says.
But shouldn't, I mean.
Right. It's just like Ainge didn't get credit when he was making these picks. Now we're giving him retroactive credit just to take it away from Stevens. Like, it's probably somewhere in the middle. Like, Ainge is doing a good job. Stevens is doing a good job. And also, these players just happen to be really good on their own.
All right. All right, close out the show if you're going to start talking. This Homer talk. Okay, you go back to Boston and start talking crazy. Enough. Wrap it up.
I do. I missed it so much. Wrap it up. And now you see that.
You're talking about
I'll take you in the winter next year when it's like 4 feet of snow. You'll be like, zero. What? This place stinks.
Yeah, you most certainly will not. Well, wow, I missed my flight. Who could have thunk it?
Rest in peace, Tom Brody.
Let me ask one more thing.
Okay.
When it comes time for Kyrie to resign, if he says he or Stevens.
Get him the fuck out. What do you mean? That's a terrible. Get him out of here.
You would go Stevens?
Definitely.
Wow. I'm not surprised you went Stevens. I'm surprised at how easily it was. I thought you liked Kyrie. Wow.
I love Kyrie. It's just, I mean, I can only deal with what's happening in real life. And we're right now, we're in the exact same position we would be if he was just playing.
So he stinks. Okay. All right. Close us out.
Rest in peace. Well, also, Kyrie's here because he wanted to play for Stevens. That would be some all-time flip-floppery in such a short period of time.
Hey, he could get there and be like, never mind. I kind of like doing my own thing.
All this young talent. And you saw how many Kyrie jerseys there were flooding the streets.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the point. Like, hey, these guys were, I thought Juice wouldn't be this good for a couple of years. I figured I'd put up 28 a game, ease them into it. They're ready right now. I'm ready to move on.
Even when he comes back, I still want him taking like a lot of these shots. I'm very excited to see what happens next year. And now terrified that you're putting these thoughts in my head. So we're definitely closing the show. Rest in peace, Tom Brody.
Yes.
Rest in peace, Porter.
Yes.
Car Cares Fund for Flint. Smash that donation button, please and thank you. Those people are still without water, and even while, like, we were stressing how bad the winter is, summer also turns out you need water.
Correct. Spring and also autumn as well. We'd like to have some water for those fine people.
We're not, I mean, it sounds like we're asking for a lot, but you're right, we are. We're being selfish.
Yeah, call it what it is. I'm fine with it. I'll wear that badge.
I don't know what to do about this, but Hawaii's getting fucking dominated right now by a volcano. I don't know if you've seen any of those videos.
I sure haven't. Oh, no.
Yeah, one of them went off, and it's just like decimating houses and cars. And I haven't heard of any reported deaths. I find it hard to believe there have been none. Like, I can't remember the last time like a place got evacuated, and I don't think you know when volcanoes are erupting. Maybe they can chart that shit, but it feels like pretty horrifying and terrible thing. So I don't know what to do about Hawaii. I'm sorry I haven't figured that out yet, but yeah, thoughts with those people, because those videos are like, magma in general is just terrifying.
I mean, it's cool to look at from a distance,
from
like
here.
me watching, I was like, here, man, in New York. Man. Yeah, like, man, oh man, that's cool. But no, I got friends in Hawaii, so I did not know that. I hope all is well there. They're out surfing. They don't even know. It's like, this happens every week. We'll come back later.
I don't even know how long it takes to come back, though. You know what I mean? Like, avalanche, like, yeah, that'll melt soon. Hurricane, like, the water eventually subsides. An avalanche?
Yeah, melt. I feel like places where avalanche, does it ever melt?
Well, it's cold where it starts, and then when it gets to the bottom of the mountain, it's a little warmer.
I'd hope.
But I also don't remember the last time avalanche was like a big problem. I'm sure it is, but
oh boy, gonna yell at some people. You don't remember that the Great Avalanche of
68?
Yeah, Digging Two.
But like magma, like I feel like Vesuvius went off, and that place is still like just uninhibited, like because of like how like all the ash that's just like settled and like burned the soil and shit.
Now it's still like raining soot there.
Right, so I don't, like, every video I see, it just keeps coming closer. Like, you can't, like, put up barricades for magma, I don't think.
Not yet. Were you at Elon Musk?
Yeah, that guy, he's fucking inventing candy. That guy stinks.
Boo that man.
So, yeah, thoughts and prayers with Hawaii. Hopefully everyone's all right out there.
Yes.
And even still, like, even if no one died, like, people just don't have houses, and I imagine won't ever again.
Or at the very least, going to be uncomfortable till they get to that next house. It's very
right
inconvenient, to say the least.
Say the absolute least, because even on Barstool Radio today, we were talking like, oh, well, if you live near a volcano, you probably have volcano insurance. Like, yeah, insurance companies are known to pay out quick and help resolve everything in a timely fashion.
That's what I'm saying. Even then, it's like, the volcano hit Thursday. We had a house Friday. That's how it is. It was that quick turnaround.
Yeah, that's what they're known for. But yeah, Thoughts are with those people.
Yes.
And we will see you guys later this week.
See ya.
Yeah. Uncle Jim.
Maserati.
I'm born with it. When you come from the bottom, then you gon' spend it. Fuck it. Ball.
Hey.
Fuck it. I'm ballin'.
I'm born with it.
I'm ballin'. Fuck it.
Post up, hold up.